Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I carry guns. I carry weapons. I'm a firm believer in protecting those that are with me.
Right.
A lot of people that are outside of Texas, and I'm not glorifying Texas. I'm a Louisiana born and raised product by heart, but the mentality here is different in Texas than any state I've been to. I've been to, 75% or better of the 50 states. Hmm. And the mentality here is of its own, if I can't say it any better. But I was at the airport. It was January, actually. This was like, and that's going to mean something too. It was like the first week of January, 2024. I'm at the airport and I switched my carry-on and I grabbed my local carry-on, if you will, headed to the airport. Well, in that local carry-on, I had a fully loaded weapon in my bag.
One in the chamber?
In my bag. No, I didn't have it. I wasn't in the chamber, okay. Thank God. But fully loaded weapon in my bag. I go through pre-check.
Like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put my bag on the conveyor belt. My bag go through the belt. And the TSA check lady at the screen, she lose it.
He on it.
That was brilliant.
So you.
We recording?
Yeah, everything on.
Timer?
Yeah.
And just like that, we live. Welcome to the Dear Son Show, where we have meaningful conversations about fatherhood, parenthood, for those who are fathers and the fatherless. Like that?
You on it?
Yeah, I snatched that. Yeah.
Yes, you on it.
Yeah. Also, to add my little piece to it, where we have in real time conversations about, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yeah, because we know now, we're going to talk about it.
Absolutely. I'm one of your hosts, Jay Black.
D. John's your other host.
What's up, brother? What's good? What's the catch up for the week?
Everything is moving in several directions.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful.
Come on.
Because last time we talked about being still a stagnant, episode 94. And this week, this episode, I feel a lot more clarity. I feel a lot more hope. I'm more hopeful for what's to come, right? I was some things that I was worried about, which worrying didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So I'm in a good space, man. So let's have a good pod. What's good with you?
Everything good, man. It's summertime. I'm checking boxes. I got a lot of movements coming up this summer. I'm checking all my boxes before everything is active. I'm out of the country a couple of times for this summer and then some other stuff. So I got a lot of ducks to get in a row. Let's just say that.
Traveling is good, man. How have you been out the country? Not to be go shading up, but how frequently have you been out the country before
now? This will be my third time out. And, okay. And it was I had some issues that were preventing me from going. And I got all of those issues resolved.
Okay.
To where now it's catch up time.
Okay.
And just in time, because the first is actually a tribute, man, to others seeing in you, not necessarily that you don't see it yourself, but other people seeing something in you and they're like, I need you in this place right here.
Mm.
You wouldn't believe what you're about to see. So that's exciting.
That's dope, man. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to travel abroad. It's not necessarily all the places that I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, Iraq, was in Haiti a couple months after the quake. So I saw some things and it gave me perspective of being grateful.
Yeah.
What matters most. And then, as I mentioned before, I was able to travel with my family and live abroad for a few years in the UAE. And just the way that developed my children, letting your children see the world, man. I used to say, show, show your kids the world and watch them grow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a uppity statement. That's just, I was blessed to have that opportunity, man. But speaking of you getting through the airports, something that in our delay, in our pause this year, we didn't really get to address. You hit me one time and you about to travel somewhere. And for whatever reason, when you hit me, it was weird because you were supposed to be like on a plane or something.
Yeah.
And what happened? there you discuss.
There I discuss. We'll take it from the top. Okay. I'm a resident of Texas.
Indeed.
So I'm not born and raised.
I see here. What you're doing. I see what you're doing.
So yeah, that's context.
I see what you're doing.
So that'll mean something in a minute, but I live in the great state of Texas, as they say here. So I exercise my right as the good majority of the people here
98.9%.
Do as well. I carry guns. I carry weapons. I'm a firm believer in protecting those that are with me.
Right.
A lot of people that are outside of Texas, and I'm not glorifying Texas. I'm a Louisiana born and raised product by heart, but, the mentality here is different in Texas than any state I've been to. I've been to, man, 75% or better of the 50 states. Hmm. And the mentality here is of its own, if I can't say it any better. But I was at the airport. It was January, actually. This was like, and that's going to mean something, too. It was like the first week of January, 2024. I'm at the airport. And I switched my carry-on, and I grabbed my local carry-on, if you will, headed to the airport. Well, in that local carry-on, I had a fully loaded weapon in my bag.
One in the chamber?
In my bag. No, I didn't okay. have it. Wasn't in the chamber, okay. Thank God. But a fully loaded weapon in my bag. I go through pre-check.
Like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put my bag on the conveyor belt. My bag go through the belt, and the TSA check lady at the screen, she lose it. Like she literally lose it. I don't even know what's going on. Because again, a lot of people are like, how you lose track of your bag? How you don't know which bag had this weapon and which had? Don't do this. We can do this all day long. However, my bag go through the window. She lose it. She throw her hands on her head and she call for help. So as she calls for help, people are running from everywhere. These doors start closing, slamming down everywhere. Man, I've never seen it before.
Shut the whole airport down.
Yeah. So I'm laughing about it now, but in the moment, man, I'm not laughing because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and I don't know
what's
next.
That it's you.
Right. I don't know what the next step or phase of this whole thing is. So I'm kind of like, I'm worried about what this looks like. You know what I'm saying? And my wife's standing there with me because she's traveling with me as well. She's looking. She's like, what's going on? And I told her, I say, based on how that lady acting, I think my hammer in the bag. So she was like, you kid. Nah, I think my hammer in the bag. So sure enough, the people come over there. They pull my weapon out of the bag. And listen. Everybody over there, they are surprisingly calm. I'm thankful for that. However, two of our constituents, if you will, they losing it. They looking at me like I just came through with narcotics. You name it. I had everything. And I get it. You I mean, you are justified to feel that way because this is a loaded weapon in the airport. I don't want to downplay my mistake. I made a huge mistake. So their process, they're going through their process. So the guy, the officer who's standing there, he tells me, man, don't worry about it. We got a process to follow. As long as you present your documents, your paperwork, everything's justified, I'll walk you out. You can secure your weapon and I can bring you right back in. The problem with that is, I have now shifted to what's called constitutional carry. So for those that don't know, here in Texas, because maybe it's like this in other states as well, but I'm versed on the law here in Texas. There's a license to carry. Mm-hmm. It's a concealed carry. So as long as you're licensed, you can carry that. If you don't have that, then if you're just carrying a weapon without that license, it's legal, but it's constitutional carry. There are more stipulations of where you can't go with it, how you have to present it, where it has to be, how visible it needs to be, the notification you need to give, notifying those around you, including law enforcement, that you have it, et cetera. Mm. So because my license had expired, he can't just let me go secure my weapon. Whole different animal now. So now we got to go to the station because now they got to do a investigation, background check, et cetera. So they
What was the scene? Did they cuff you and walk you?
Yeah, right there. Once he saw my license was no good. Now they handcuffed me. He threw a coat over my cuffs, though, so it wouldn't look like I was out of control in there. Right. And again, another courtesy that he didn't have to give me, and I'm thankful for that as well. Walked me out to the car, run me over to the station, the closest station to the airport. They take me inside to meet with an investigator. Investigator asked me all these questions and doing a background check, and they come back. Thank God, man. Another lesson to your kids: do the right thing. If you're living right, everything good. So everything came back squeaky clean. They told me I was clear to go. They have to hold my weapon. I'm cool with that. I ain't in a rush to get that back with this going on.
Right, my freedom.
So they, like, surprisingly again, they're in a hurry trying to rush me back to the airport. We might be able to catch your flight. Like, man, they real laid back with this.
Yeah.
So I kid you not, on the way back to the airport, this is like January the 7th. He said I was the 9th person this year, 7 days into the year, at that airport alone, that had forgotten and had a weapon in their bag. Mm. That's a whole different conversation in itself. So the weapon in the bag, I'm number 9. He's rushing me back to the airport. He gets a call while he's headed back to take me back. Number 10, somebody else right behind me.
Dang.
So he was dropping me off to pick somebody else up to start this whole process again.
Wow. So what?
Yeah, it's a lot.
So they held your gun for...
They still got it.
Still got it.
Because here's the process. First of all, there's a fine.
Yeah.
FAA, they sent a good hot boy letter. Mm. Hey, you just violated this. We normally want this $100,000 right here. But if right now, in the next 30 days, if you'll pay, we'll knock it all the way down to this.
Ooh.
Sent that bread. I don't need them problems.
Yeah.
So I sent their money for that. That starts the next step. So the next step is you have to go before, or your name rather. Your name goes before a grand jury. And so what that does, grand juries, they sit, I think it's grand jury. I'm 99% certain it's called a grand jury, where what happens is they run cases and scenarios by this jury
to determine.
And if they say, hey, that needs to go to trial, or y'all can actually beat that case or get that conviction rather. If a grand jury determines that that's a liable or viable rather case that they can get a conviction, they send it to trial. If they look at it and they're like, the judge is going to throw that out, or that person's going to beat that hands down, I think they do no contest or whatever the case, and they throw it out. So obviously, once he ran my background check to him, that took another couple of months. So I called. I'm communicating back and forth with the investigator about it, asking for the status.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it actually got heard, as they called it, they threw it out, which he told me they were going to throw it out. So once they threw it out, then he has to send what's called a clearance down to the weapons room. They put a tag on your weapon. So now that tag has to clear. So now that the clearance tag has to clear your tag. So now he says, okay, we'll do an over the phone background check, or you can come in or go submit one.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the over the phone background check, asked me a lot of questions again. So now he says, okay, this happened January of 2024. We're now, June?
Mm-hmm.
June of 2024. And as of last week, we just got to that background check portion. And he said, everything's good. I have to present on your behalf 6 to 8 weeks. You ought to be able to come pick up your weapon.
So does that impact your ability to have a weapon at all?
No.
Or just getting that particular weapon back?
No. And that I'm glad you asked that, because again, we're here in Texas.
Yeah.
Every person that heard about this story, go buy you another one. Go buy another one. It's going to be a while. They'll release it. It's probably going to take about 4 to 6 months. Mm. Go get you another one. Go get something else. Replace it. Get this. I was like, to me, I feel like that puts me on the radar. They're like, what are you up to? Why are you doing this? They're going to be doing all of these background checks, but you're going by more and more and more weapons while they're looking into, why did you make the mental mistake to come through this airport with this loaded weapon in the first place? And the next thing you want to show them is, I'm just going to go get another one until y'all give me that one back. My mindset wasn't on that.
Right. That's like the, it's an East Coast rap you might not be familiar with. Joel Santana from Dipset. Got caught with his in the airport.
I like that boy, man.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was licensed or whatever, but he ended up in the airport similar. And when it's not somebody in close proximity to you, you automatically go to, how could that happen? I know you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, when you were telling me the story, matter of fact, you didn't, this is the first time I'm getting the whole story. Yeah. Because as you were telling me, I was like,
we gotta
put this on the pod. I want to hear it on the pod first time, but
yeah.
We let the month slip. What was your experience or like your history with guns and gun culture growing up? Because I kind of want to walk like that, and you know, I can talk about my experiences as well. Because I've been shot at a couple times, been driving when somebody got shot.
Yeah,
and there were things that I was very dismissive of at a young age.
Right.
That now that I have children that are at that age when these things happen to me, the gravity kind of sets in. But what was your experience like with guns? Just common?
Yeah.
Shreveport?
Yeah, Shreveport, Louisiana, born and raised. So I've had more experience or exposure to guns than I care to acknowledge, but just, I didn't grow up, you know, committing crimes or robbing people or stuff like that. But I've been robbed at gunpoint before. I've been in shootouts, not an active participant, but just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
They fly.
I've been in the military. I'm certified on several different calibers of weaponry. So I've been trained how to properly handle it. Mm. How to discharge, how to disarm, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on. So my level of responsibility with a weapon now, you would think that's the first assumption. You'd never do that. And that brings me to a point. The blind judgment we have. The blind judgment we have, like you said, when Jewel Santana and some other entertainers I've heard, and I don't mean to just name drop that brother, but I've heard stories of people, Cat Williams, you know, they forget and they're like, oh, I forgot that weapon was in my bag. Every person who's never done that, you can't make them understand it.
There's no way that happened.
Prior to me doing it, I was like, come on, who don't know me? So I kid you not, I'm standing in my clinic about 2 months after this happens. Some older gentlemen are in the clinic having a discussion about that very thing, not knowing who's in the room. There's a life lesson right here, because a lot of people do this very thing a lot. And I'll tie this into some other areas. They're standing there saying, I could never be around or respect anybody who would make a mistake like that. So I say, not knowing this just happened to me a couple of months prior, why would you say that? Like, what do you mean?
Right.
A person that irresponsible? I don't think anybody in this room would do anything like that. I've been around you people for years. Everybody in this room, I've had some level of exposure to you over the last years, and I'd put my life on it. None of you guys are irresponsible like that. It's the irresponsible people out there in the world that makes those kinds of decisions that ruin it for everybody else. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head like, nobody in this room, huh? They would never. I wouldn't even talk to, I'd be able to see a person like that before they even did anything like that and know that they moved that way. would you now? Mm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's other instances, mistakes I've made in my life personally that I've had close friends and relatives say stuff like, I'd never be around anybody that would ever do that. They could never be my friend. I wouldn't care about them. I wouldn't be around them. I don't associate with those type of people. Mm. You don't know who you're talking to or who you're sitting with when you cast these judgments or you get on these pedestals or you're standing on your soapbox about how righteous and justified and how perfect your decision-making processes are and what you would never do. And you don't know what kind of life or mistakes or circumstances the next man has had to face.
Yeah. How far does that, should that grace extend? And this is kind of on a tangent, but like, if you think about what's going on in the headlines, they're kind of quiet. Well, not really quiet this week, but quieter this week than they have been in the past few weeks with Diddy, right?
Yes.
And there are people, of course, that they were accomplices, they were enablers, the people that know, but I'm sure there were also people that had a limited interaction with him and saw him one way, right?
Yes.
And I don't want to, this is not about passing judgment on that situation, but what are those things that are beyond grace? Or maybe great, we'll start with grace because there's grace and then there's, I still don't fool with you after this. I understand what I understand that you are remorseful for what you did, but yes. I still can't fool with you, as those people were saying, lacking the initial grace though.
And they have that right.
Yeah.
The line is intent. Mm. Because your intent speaks to your character. Did you intend to do whatever you did? And where does the remorse come in? How do you view it? Is it, again, it goes to the old saying, are you sorry you did it or are you sorry you got caught?
Yeah.
And like I said, when I'm laughing now about my weapon being in that bag, but I was no good standing right there, to the point my wife was worried, because I'm thinking, man, these people about to hit me with a felony. I got this weapon in here. I'm worried about now. What do I look like on paper?
Mm-hmm.
Am I on a no fly list?
Mm-hmm.
Am I now considered a threat?
Yeah, that's
am I, and list, my mind just started clicking about where is this going? You know, have I wrecked some of the things that I have literally active? I have government contracts that pay me to do some of the things that I do.
Yeah.
Did I just crash that? Did I ruin that? You see what I mean? So all of these things are coming crashing down in the moment. Like some people are like, oh, I didn't think about that. It's not how my mind works. My mind immediately went to, did this one ignorant moment sink my whole ship?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now what's the damage control? What does that look like? What is my record reputation? What does this all look like now? So back to your original question about where does it stop? Absolutely. Each person has the right to say, I don't care where your intent was. The act is good enough for me.
Right.
And if that's your stance on whatever the case is, you have that right. And I have nothing to do but to respect that. But you can't say, like some people will tell their circle, no matter what, I got your back no matter what you do. And then in the next breath say, I would never be around a person that did this, this, and this. That makes your first statement incorrect because now it's conditional. Don't say anything. Just say within.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Reason or don't have those conversations. I'm always mindful of being absolute. Like, don't say never. I would never. I could never.
Well, I always.
Mm-hmm. You always. You just don't know until it taps you on your shoulder and what its circumstances are on the table now. Like, what's on the line? Is there a life on the line? Is there survival on the line? Is there a selfish gain that you're so tapped into that you're willing to, same thing with this Diddy situation. A lot of people are like, they didn't take, you don't know what they did. You weren't in the room. But there are people that were willing participants right. in these acts. But again, what makes you feel like, hey, what I get or gain from this, they're trading everything. Your soul, your friendships, your relationships, what's on the line?
So that brings me to a thought about like the evolution of your friend circle and what loyalty means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a phase of to the grave.
Yes.
A lie for you, not to you, right? Anything. Until you by proximity are put in a compromising situation about what somebody very close to you has done.
Yes.
Right. And how do you take certain things to the grave? And like, how do we advise our sons when it comes to that? Because there are things that I still have an understanding with certain people that I grew up with.
Yes.
That's part of a code still existing.
Absolutely.
Now, there's some things that are completely off the table.
Yeah.
But is that even a conversation that you think fathers are having with their sons? And we can bring it into the house because I can tell you, I haven't explicitly had that conversation. I've had conversations around what happens when you're close to somebody that doesn't think the same way that you do, doesn't have the same principles that you do. Isn't as responsible as you may be in a moment.
Right.
But I don't think that I've like coherently pulled it together in terms of this is the topic and this is how we assess the people that we think we're going to be loyal to for life.
Right.
What's your thoughts on that? Because we got sons. I mean, you got an 18-year-old. Now,
yes.
Right? I got mine to be 17 in a couple months.
Yes. And I'm mindful of I haven't, like you said, to actually lay that thing down A to Z, I haven't. I've thrown nuggets at him about your circle, your friends, trouble. Don't let the group pull you into a situation that'll change the rest of your life. I've had minor little snippets of conversations about that. But to sit down and have let me give you a scenario. Let me give you a real life example of this took place, these two men did this. I had two close friends in high school that one day walking home from school, they walked through the parking lot of a mall and an elderly woman walks out and one of those guys tells the other guy they should rob that lady. These are guys I thought at the time were like, man, these my people.
Yeah.
And they did that. And they both went to jail for it and got out. And when they got home, one ended up being, he was never right again. He's on the streets, drug addict and everything to this day. Believe it or not, the other one is a politician.
Believe it completely.
He's a successful, thriving, and to my understanding, he's the one that presented the idea to carry out the act. And he's a successful politician right now. And I dare not say anybody's name.
Right.
But.
Sponged.
Right. Yeah. So now you have to be mindful of, do you, that conversation with your children has to be the importance of surrounding yourself, not just with people that you like. You have to really get to know somebody like that on the surface stuff, or everybody at the school likes this guy. So it's only natural that me and this guy or this cat get along. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. That means nothing. They can love him or that person to the end of time. But what is this person doing when he thinks nobody's looking? Because that's the character. If he thinks he can get away with something, will he do it?
Yeah.
And now that's where you put your allegiance into question. Because now if you're aligning yourself with somebody that you're going to continuously have to cover for, you need to get away from that. You're having to cover too much.
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem.
Yeah, I had enough experiences with with guns, with shots flying, being silly enough to grab a gun and walk out the house thinking something's going to happen. Thank God, you know what I mean? It didn't work out the way that it could have in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just young and reckless. And the thing is, I didn't feel reckless in those moments. I felt justified.
Right.
When I was the one carrying the gun.
Right.
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 It made sense to me in the moment that this was a justifiable thing to have in terms of protection or because of what's, you know, something happened. You know, I had situations where, won't say names, called like, yo, so-and-so, you know what I'm saying? I got a problem here. I don't know if I'm able to get out. Right. And I wasn't one, number one, I was younger than everybody else. So when they used to go to the club, I ain't gonna say to spite me, but if the last resort was going to the club, I was gonna have to be at home. But the thing is, I had my own crib, so it wasn't really a big deal to me. So I never really was like, plan A, let's go to the club. Let's go where everybody's going to be, let alone let's always go there so everybody knows I'm always there. I have partners that was, you know where to find them. Any day of the week, or at least on the weekends, they're going to be at so-and-so. But on that particular night, I guess I was so, like, my adrenaline was going so crazy that I was kind of stomping around the house. And my roommate, at the time, came downstairs. He was like, yo, you all
right? Right.
What you about to do? And I told him, and he was like, you might want to think about that. And that was the extent of it. And I might have made it to the porch, but I doubled back because the reality was the reason that the person that called me thought they had a problem was because of their actions. And that's that fight now, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Fight if you're right, fight if you're wrong, we'll talk about it later. But sometimes... That, like you said, the one that made the suggestion turned out all right. The one that complied with the suggestion, you know, in the case of your friends,
yes,
turned out to
ruin,
basically lose his quality of life. So it's I've been around guns. When I got married, we got married as a blended family, and then we had kids right after that. Keisha got 5 kids. That's my wife. I do too. So that's the joke. But she wasn't cool with him being in the house, though. She was in the military and she was a qualified marksman. So it wasn't about her ability to handle it. She just wasn't comfortable.
Yes.
Now that we live in Texas, she says something about it more to me. Hey, bro, we ain't got to have twins, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What we going to do? And now I'm open to it, but those scenarios replay in my mind, like if and when this thing gets in the wrong hands, or have I laid enough foundation that my children can understand it? And I got, you know, family members and close friends that have explained gun safety to their kids,
mm-hmm.
which is what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want them to find it and then figure out or go through their mental Rolodex of what they've seen, heard, or somebody said to them. That's not a reliable source on how they should approach it. So we're I think this will be the year. Now, if you don't think I have other weapons, that's, you know what I mean? That's,
shame on you.
That's different.
All good neighbors. Yeah,
very different.
Shame on you.
You're right. I can get you got. No, I ain't gonna say that. but yeah, so it's like that story was interesting to me. And again, I'm hearing it all for the first time. I just realized we 4 months, we never
touched
completed
on
the story.
Right.
But what I am curious about is like, how has that changed the dynamic with you and your sons? Has it even been discussed?
My 18-year-old knows it happened.
Okay.
And he was blown away. He was like, he was stuck on how. He just was like, how? And I was, and again, in my household, there's an 18-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. So I know that sounds like there's a bag laying around with a weapon in it unaccounted for that I don't know.
I don't think that.
The bag that I grabbed to the airport isn't what I call an exterior bag. And I don't want to go too much into detail to give up the way I move. But it was a placement that only my wife as well, she knows. The only two people that know were that bag. But that bag had space for what I had going on. I grabbed the bag, but because of where the weapon was prior to that, and that bag was accessible for me moving another weapon, that weapon went to that bag. me grabbing that bag and moving just didn't add up. It wasn't, I was moving too fast that morning. I had no business. And there's multiple compartments on the bag. Let's say there's 9 compartments on the bag. I checked 8.
It's a military bag.
I checked 8.
Yeah.
And that last compartment had the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's okay. I didn't mention it to the 8 and 6. They have no idea. But context, I'm from the country. I grew up in the country, man, riding horses and hunting and four-wheelers and dirt bikes. We shoot. Like kids shoot. They target practice. We set up objects literally on trees and on the ground and on the levee. And you got to get good at this because this is a part of our life, not for violence, but literally hunting for meat and survival and the sport of it, backwoods activity. So now when you get in the streets and these other people looking at it differently for another reason, well, it's second nature by now.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel strip, clean, unjam, whatever the case you have going on. But it was because if this animal is about to attack me, I got to be able to get this animal off me. Well, now to them, the animal is another person.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah. I think about it often, like how to introduce the conversation to my kids. I definitely need to have more conversation. Well, I had a conversation on here with my son about one of the instances where a car got shot up and a friend got hit. So he understands the gravity of gun violence and being there for people in situations that they put themselves in that maybe don't warrant you putting yourself in between them and that situation.
Yeah.
Because what happened with me is the person that had the beef was up the street. We got shot at, right? And we were going to be the first. We were the first line of defense, not by design, but just how the night went.
Yes.
Right. I saw something. We were in a couple of different cars, and something caught my attention that I didn't feel comfortable parking and walking back to a certain place. I'm like, hold on, this don't look right.
Right.
And maybe we became. I shouldn't say, well, me not physically, but property, but my boy, he got shot in the shoulder, grazed in the shoulder, and I don't want to make light of that, save somebody's life. Because the way that they were positioned, the only reason somebody didn't die was because the gun initially jammed and I was in the car trying to peel out. So imagine walking down the street. If a gun jam, you're gonna gain about 15 feet trying to run.
Yeah.
And then it's on the pop. And I don't know who else of that group had a gun, but it was the one person. So
yeah.
But nah, man, I thought that was I appreciate you sharing that with the family.
Man, PTSD a little bit. Cause after that, I kid you not, you know, we fly quite frequent. So that happened January, like I say, first week of January, I caught the flight. I had to fly again next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I, man, as I'm getting closer to the check-in,
scared
my heart pounding.
Right.
I've looked in my bag 22 times now.
Is your name on the list now? Or?
Man, they did take they took my pre-check though.
Oh.
And
I mean,
hey, 5 years.
Small sacrifice.
Ooh, they told me I can't pre-check for 5 years.
Clear
and
is better.
I'm not downplaying that. I was out of line.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's for a gun? a gun?
Right.
Loaded?
Right. Right. So I'm again, I was surprised that they were letting me fly that day.
Yeah.
They were like, you can get back on this plane. You're good. We got.
Yeah, the problem is
we're secured.
The problem is here when you get back. The problem is what the problem is regardless of what you do today.
Listen, everything after that, I had to go I started doing some checking on myself. Like, hey, I'm good with this. I still got this clearance. I got this. They were like, yeah, but.
Yeah, clearance is sometimes, I know from the federal perspective, you have a duty to report it.
Boy.
Because it's not like an automatic thing that they find out, but.
It's worse if you don't say something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those days are hopefully over for me. I think I still have a clearance. It's not attached to any contracts, but I had my last secret clearance interview process 2018, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's 10 years. So we'll see. Anyhow, man, let's land this plane, brother. It's your episode, but.
And I know we like to tie in. And let me show you how this ties in. Mm-hmm. There were several messages in this episode. And so this, you can call this the follow up. First off, the biggest thing that stood out that we pointed out was being judgmental, not understanding who's in the room. Read the room. We have an episode coming up called Read the Room.
Indeed.
But sometimes not everything in your head or in your mind needs to be said. Hmm. Or do a better job of communicating with people before you say what you will and won't do with who you could never be around or hang around.
Yeah.
Without knowing if you're offending or poking somebody that's in that room. But awareness, heightened awareness, because the thing you say you'll never do, it could happen to you.
Yeah. I think it's important to, like you said, read the room in terms of being mindful, not to necessarily abandon the conversation, mm-hmm. but introduce it in a way that facilitates an actual conversation and not contention or, a combative tone or people like going to those absolutes.
Right.
I think another thing is the not to take anything for granted, man, just because you haven't experienced a situation with guns and gun violence doesn't mean that you won't, or your children or somebody close to you won't, unfortunately, you know, they may be in a situation, right?
Right.
And God forbid anything happens that's fatal or any kind of injury, but not talking about it doesn't help them be ready.
Right.
Any better.
Right.
So, like I said, my son is, he'll be 17 or something, going to a senior year. I know your son's going to senior year. Sending one off to college, that's another thing. Yes. Sending my daughter off to another state.
Yes.
Guys don't even differentiate between what's appropriate interaction with a man or a woman. You heard the cases of guys asking for a number or the girl not being interested, and they smack them or they shoot them. Those are the things that kind of grab a corner of my mind at times. And I know ultimately God is in control.
Yeah.
I just had to figure out some kind of routine that makes me go to sleep every night, because I know I'll
Ooh,
crazy.
Yeah.
Anyhow, man, I'm not sure.
No, I know we didn't cover it at the top, but still, it still holds true. Like, share, and subscribe.
Shake the rust off.
Yeah. We are still at it. I don't want to throw this at the end either, man. And sometimes you say the best for last, but there's a lot of followers that saw this special certificate surface this past week.
Let's get it.
This about the Dear Son Network.
The network.
You want to tell us something about the Dear Son Network, sir?
Went through the process, man. It's something about laying the right foundation in any business, and you know that.
Yes.
So sometimes things start off as a cool idea. Sometimes they might, generate some income. Then sometimes they might turn into a business or something that can grow beyond what you initially expected, and you're not prepared to take it to the world because you didn't properly protect it and register things in ways that you should. So the Dear Son Network, I own that.
Yes.
Patent Trademark Office. It's a service mark. It was issued on June 4th, so yesterday. And it was a long process.
Yes.
Like I'm familiar with it. I tried successfully and unsuccessfully to get things trademarked. And this time I paid for it. And it was an investment. It was an investment.
Correct.
Definitely a line item.
Correct.
On a few budgets, but it's meaningful to me because it's another confirmation. It's another motivating factor to keep going.
Yeah.
And to know that I'm doing it the right way.
Yes.
It was a slow bubble. So it took about 20 months. Took about 20 months. And
let that sink in.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's normal now. When I started the process, 12 to 18 months was the standard, but that was because of the volume and the people that had processing it. I ran into an issue where the evaluator felt that that was a challenging application in conflict with mine.
Right.
So we had to coordinate with the lawyer, her firm. Shout out to Dana Thomas Law out of Atlanta, Georgia. They wrote the compelling arguments, so that added some more time.
Yes.
Right. And then it gets published and it gives people time to actually
respond
or protest it or not. So we're through it. But yeah, the Dear Son Network, which has been the idea.
Yeah. Right?
Houses, this is a product under that network.
Yes.
Health Me, I Almost Died, you know, the documentary series is a product under that, you know, with some other things that we talked about, something you've seen the list. That yes. list is still the list.
Yes.
So I am very excited about doing that under the protection, and it also helps people take you serious. Not necessarily just the average person, but businesses or people that want to partner with you.
Yes.
They want to understand that you've protected your idea. If this becomes a thing where there's an opportunity to license something,
right.
or, you know, 15 years from now, somebody says, hey, it's $752.3 million. There's not much conversation after that.
Not much conversation after that.
Call me what you want to call me, because at that time I would have accomplished everything that was supposed to happen.
Correct.
So,
correct.
But if and when, however the laws will work out. But yeah, man. Appreciate all of those that showed love. Appreciate those that believe. Appreciate those that thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
It all matters.
Every one of you served the purpose.
It all matters.
Whichever one of those categories you fall in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
And you're welcome. Support Love, Keisha J. Support the Dear Son Network. Support Dear Son. Support your local businesses.
Yes. God.
Always be a firm supporter when you can of local business, especially if they're tied to you in some kind of way.
Yes.
We don't stress that enough. Like, not necessarily just us. If you know a person, if they're your friend, if they're your relative, patronize.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yeah.
It matters. Got anything to close us out?
Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Peace.
They tried to count me out. I'ma gon' count me in. Fill up my bank account. Now I got something to spend. Nah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I just pull it out and count for nothing when I'm feeling great.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.